Thank you, everyone, for listening to Thank You for Being a Podcast. We are the Golden Girls Podcast, the podcast in which we watch an episode of the Golden Girls, and then we break it down scene by scene. I'm Anthony DeSamito.
I'm Genevieve Rice.
And today we have a very special guest, a super awesome Dave Williamson.
Bum, 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 bum. Thank you for being a friend.
Thank you for being a Dave. How are you, Dave?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on. It's so funny. I don't usually get excited to do, every single podcast. Mm-hmm. But Anthony's been doing my show in LA a lot, and every time when I introduce him, he has a Golden Girls podcast. I get like literally excited. I'm like, I gotta do an episode of this. Like,
you have to, we've been trying to get you on for a bit, and so now you're here. It's come to fruition.
We did it.
We're good. Just this like is our last episode.
Yay! This is it. This is it.
Just like how every single episode of the Golden Girls has that moment where you feel like you learned something and you overcome. Come and you persevere. That's what I feel like we did by making this episode finally happen.
I think you're right. I feel ready to tackle any person dying in my family.
I think it's safe to say that we're stronger people.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. So we watched an amazing episode. I'm amazed. Like literally it is amazing. But before we get started, we always like to ask our guests, what is their Golden Girls background? How has Golden Girls affected your life in any way, if any way? Dave.
Well, I would say that my memories of Golden Girls has a lot to do with the fact that I grew up in Miami, Florida.
Yeah.
So I remember. Yeah, so I remember that there was, Miami Vice was a popular show at the time and everything, and there's a lot of other shows. Yeah, like the world was kind of really enamored with the Miami lifestyle back then. But the Golden Girls was like such a staple and such a popular like family sitcom that it was really cool just seeing like South Florida represented when I was a kid. And then I remember it had a lot of like spinoffs too, where it was like Empty Nest, right?
Empty Nest.
And so there was
Narcissus.
Like, yeah, so there was like two or three shows that all had to do with like Fort Lauderdale. I've got two chihuahuas fighting each other around me right now. Just so you guys
know. So listeners, there's two chihuahas trying to battle it out.
I have a chihuahua puppy named Gypsy, and we're dog sitting this crotchety old lady chihuahua here
named Taco. They're not
getting along super well.
So yeah.
Yeah, well, I have two cats that have lived together for 3 years that hate each other.
They're so like
Taco's the Sophia of chihuahuas.
I would say that they're like Sunny and Lyle.
Yeah, they are.
And they're fighting for Dave's love. And
I am their B. Arthur.
Yeah. Oh no, that's definitely Sunny. Okay.
Yeah.
So we watched season 6, episode 9. It is titled Mrs. George Devereaux, and the original air date is November 17th, 1990. Yeah, it's our Thanksgiving episode. And as we do with every episode, Genevieve is going to do the synopsis for the listener who did not get to watch it with us, surrounded by chihuahuas. Go ahead, Genevieve.
Well, Blanche has a secret admirer, and but also Dorothy has two secret admirers. Turns out it's Lyle Wagner and Sonny Bono. After she saw both of them in a play, and they saw her and fell in love, so they all go to meet Blanche's secret admirer, and it turns out, dun dun dun, it's her dead husband. But he's alive. And Blanche has to wrestle with whether she wants to let him back in her life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Rose is just stupid in this episode.
Rose is stupid and Sophia is sassy.
Yeah.
Rose is always stupid. Is that a normal... Mm-hmm. jokes per minute for Rose with ditzy statements.
She's the dumbest person. Like, yeah. I can't understand.
But it holds up. It's still so funny. Like,
it's still just, great. Yeah. She's, oh, hey, little babies. Okay. They're calming down. Calming down. All right. So we start off with Rose's. I wrote Rose. I'm like, wait, it's roses. The kitchen is filled with a million roses. They all belong to Blanche. It is her secret admirer gave them to her. And at first, so is Genevieve, was this Valentine's Day? I think I missed that.
I don't think so. I think it was actually just a ton of roses just out of the blue.
Yeah, is the first thing that this episode was full of things that were just far-fetched and unbelievable. We won't go into the spoiler alert yet. We learn out why later. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. But that was the first thing. How has this dude got so much money to get roses? Once we find out it was her husband that faked his own death, how do you have that much cash if you've been living without a social security number for 9 years?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I felt the same way. And then I also was like, that's like an aggressive amount of flowers. Like at some point.
Yeah, that's like stalkerish. Yeah, for sure.
Like at some point it becomes like a burden. You're like, I've got to take care of all these flowers now. Like
He knows his wife. He knows that she likes excess. He wants her to be able to show off. That's his, M.O., you know what I mean?
I gotcha. But I'm looking at this from my own perspective, and I'm
but
like,
you're right.
Yeah.
How does he have money? Like how?
That is a good point. Yeah.
Did he put stocks away? Like whatever company they have, because I think they own land. So, and if his business partner embezzled the money, where was his money?
Yeah, I think he might have been the one doing the embezzling here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In this dream world. Your dreams have loopholes, Blanche.
But I thought the same thing, Genevieve. Between all those flowers and then Sonny and Lyle showing up at the house unannounced in restaurants, I'm like, there's a lot of stalking going on in this episode. Yes. That we're writing off as just being cute.
Stalking is only cute. On sitcoms.
In the 80s, I guess it was adorable.
Yeah, in the 80s, it was really adorable.
Stalkdorable. Are you okay? Oh, I'm looking at the puppy. Okay, so Dorothy also got flowers. And there's a great joke where Rose is like, everybody remembers the first time they got flowers.
Yeah.
Sick burn on Rose's part, but she didn't really mean to be rude. And then Dorothy starts talking about how she went to this play and she met Sonny and she met Lyle Waggoner and they just fell absolutely in love with her. At this point, I'm like, okay, I didn't know who Lyle Waggoner was at first. Did you, Genevieve?
I looked him up on Wikipedia, so I am clearly an expert now. Yeah, he was on the he was a model and an actor, and he was on the Carol Burnett show.
He didn't do very much after Carol Burnett,
but that's all he had to do is Carol Burnett.
Yeah, Carol Burnett must have been his main thing, because they even had that one reference where he tugged on his ear and pulled the curtain closed, which was a total Carol Burnett.
But that thing was like, did the whole cast do that, or was it just Carol Burnett?
No, well, I think that they even had like those curtains were always in Carol Burnett. Even they had like an animation, didn't they? Where it was like the curtains would close.
And Carol Burnett would do that. She would pull her ear for her grandmother, right? Did you know that?
It was either her grandmother or funny. It was to signal a missile launch in Russia.
Yes, it was to destroy Russia. Yeah. USSR at that point, right? I don't know.
Man, we haven't progressed one bit, have we?
Because her grandma would be watching at home the Carol Burnett show, and her grandma would be like, sweetie, I want you to say wave to me or say hi, grandma, or something like that. And so she said, how about I just tug my ear for you?
Yeah.
And that's when that means I love you. Aww. So that was, it's so sweet.
Grandma's always wanting attention.
Yeah. And then, okay. And so this is what I love. And I wish that this was real life. But, sorry. If you hear me canoodling sounds, it's me and the puppy. Okay,
Anthony,
Genevieve?
Can't get over his dog.
I feel so left out.
I'm sorry. Genevieve is in Arizona, if you are a new listener, by the way. We're in California. Okay, so there's the secret admirer wants to meet Blanche for lunch. And Blanche is like, I'm going to invite all of you because, okay, this is the one moment where they're like, stalking is bad, right?
Yeah.
They're like, the only moment, and they get a free lunch, which is great.
yeah, and why, like, it takes the entire cast to go, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, go! They have nothing to do. And then they find Dorothy. They find Dorothy, Sunny, and Lyle. Somehow find Dorothy. No, just Lyle.
Just Lyle.
In this at this point, but yeah, they're legit. Like I don't know. Would you? I know you're married, but would you bring like all your homies to check out this girl? I guess it's different because a girl can't rape you. Well, she can legally.
I guess. B. Arthur might be able to.
Yeah.
She's a very strong woman.
She is a very strong woman.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, this is before, like, internet dating or anything like that, where it was, like, where people, like, blind dating was, like, still very, like, revolutionary, I think. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't.
The original blind dating, I think, is arranged marriages.
Yes.
At this point.
Yeah, I once again I would have been more worried about how aggressive Lyle Wagner was being in Sonny Bono.
Yeah. Okay, like, Lyle Wagner like walks in, like, does B. Arthur tells him, you need to get away from me at first, right? She's like, not right now, I'm with my friends. Hello.
Get out of here,
Lyle Wagner.
Can we talk about the play that Dorothy saw them in?
What
for
was
a second? It was Equus. Which is like this crazy play where like this young boy is like obsessed with horses. He thinks they're God, and like there's this therapist that's like that. Is this therapist that's like studying him who thinks he's slowly going crazy himself, and like the kid I think like stabs a horse in the eye, and I think there's full frontal nudity because. Daniel Radcliffe was in it when
on
the West End.
Yes.
And I believe there is full frontal nudity.
Doesn't he fuck a horse in that?
I wouldn't put it past the play.
There was like a weird sexual.
So
yeah.
who was playing the horse? Sonny Bono or Lyle Wagner? Were they really?
It was Cher. That's why Sonny was there.
Oh, I feel like they're both in the horse costume.
The two of them.
Sonny's the
cast
pie.
As the horse.
They're just
Lyle
like
Wagner
rubbing up against some naked dude.
Yeah. So they were in the play. Did they really do that play like in real life? Were those guys performing that play?
I doubt it. I don't think so.
It sounds very avant-garde.
But it seems like a very weird play to watch, like a dinner theater play to watch in like Fort Lauderdale.
Well, I don't know. It would.
There's artsy communities in Fort Lauderdale, I'm sure, right?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, there's.
It would have been at the Parker Playhouse. I performed there.
Oh!
Where all the old people come to see shows.
There.
Yeah.
The community theater playhouse.
I just feel like it would be, like, more likely we'd see something like Brighton Beach Memoirs or something like that. Like a Neil. Right. I'm picturing, like, Neil Simon. All over this place.
Well, it would make sense. It would made more sense if that's why they're like, all right, listen, Sonny and Lyle are doing this play. It's not getting good numbers. We got their agents like, we got you a guest starring role in Golden Girls. We're going to pump the play. So the writers got to figure out some way to put the two of them in an episode and then make it believable. And they're like, oh, we're going to have to make them fall in love with Dorothy and then make it all a dream. Like, that's the only way we're going to be able to explain this away.
The Fort Lauderdale 1990s production of Horsefuck. What was the name of the play? I forget.
Equus.
Heckless?
Equus.
Atlas?
It's like E-Q-U-U-S. Yeah.
E-Q-U-U-S. Equus.
Yeah, okay. It's like the Latin word for horse or something like that.
For horse fuck.
It's horse fuck now.
Okay, so then like the waiter who has the best bangs ever.
Oh yeah,
he's like fucking just like the big brother from Boy Meets World. Eric, he comes in. He's like, oh Miss Blanche Devereaux, there's somebody at the bar that wants to meet you. And it's lo and behold, George Devereaux, her dead husband.
It's just so interesting too how like classic sitcom writers like write things like they're like, we need to plan his grand entrance and you know, but we'll have the waiter come up and you know, and say that, and then it doesn't even matter because he walks out anyways, and you know, like they do that, like they do that just so they get that line in with Rose looking over and being like, oh, he's handsome,
very,
like,
you know, look at
which
him.
Was a funny line by the way when she turns out, I can't believe it. She goes, well, okay, he's not a 10, but.
Yeah. Blanche freaks the fuck out. Like, it isn't, like rightfully so. Like, but I would have thrown stuff at him. Like, if that was me, I would have, like.
Oh, yeah.
Flipped over. I would have, like, punched him on the checkered ground. Yes. Like, to start it.
6-year-old woman would have been, like, having a heart attack or a panic attack or something.
Or go, you know, something. More out of control. She did react big, which I did love.
Which can we also not gloss over the fact that Dorothy said she was in her 50s in this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. So what happened was with the Golden Girls, and sorry, listeners, if I repeat myself, but in the first season, they were all like 53, 54, 55, Dorothy being the oldest. And then, no, wait. That's the second the second episode. The first episode, they were like 58, 59, 60. And then like after the first episode, like I'm assuming B. Arthur was like, I am not going to be 60 years old. We better like lower. They lowered their ages after the first episode. It was like.
So they're just forever in their 50s, they're basically.
Forever in their 50s.
It's like 90210 when the kids are in high school for 9 years. Like.
Did they really do that for? They were all in high school. They never graduated.
No, they finally graduated. Mm-hmm. Yeah, after finally chanting Donna Martin graduates.
But they still went to the Peach Pit.
Yeah, they still did the college years. Same with Saved by the Bell. They do like they milk it for as long as they can, and then finally they're like, all right, this has been going on a long time. We have to graduate these kids.
Yeah, like them, like they were. I mean, were they going to the Max when they were Saved by the Bell the college years? Because that'd be kind of creepy.
No,
because it's fucking junior high kids.
I think they like only part of the cast went, and they went to college. And Zach had long hair, and they had the fanciest dorm I've ever seen. I didn't realize that college dorms weren't that fancy.
Yeah, especially like Bayside Community College or whatever it was. Like,
is that where they went? The Palisades Community College?
Something. Some made-up school.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That'd be funny if they did the Golden Girls the college years. They all went to grad school.
They did something like that with
Screech is there for some reason. What's that?
They did something like that with Sex and the City. They had the Carrie Diaries. When she
went back.
Yeah.
It's the prequel to Sex in the City. It's the Phantom Menace of Sex in the City, the Carrie Diaries. We see how she became evil. Or
yeah.
This is where we like her. Okay. All right. Let's bring this back around. Let's not gloss over the joke. Fuck. Oh, yeah. Blanche is like, I hardly ever humiliate myself in public places.
Yeah. I know. I know you guys are going to believe this, but I got, is that what you're talking about? She's, I was duped once too. Is that the one?
Oh, which I'm talking about, that one was great too. Oh. But I'm talking about where Blanche is inviting them to the public place to meet her husband. And she's like, I've never been, I don't ever get humiliated in public places. And Bea Arthur's like, have we forgotten so quickly about the Greyhound, fucking terminal?
Yeah, the Greyhound bus incident.
Oh, that was great.
and then Sophia said, and then they said, Sophia, don't embarrass me. And she said, she's like, I promise, as long as we're not cauliflower on the menu, then it's in God's hands, which is a very sophisticated fart joke.
Very fun fart joke. There's a lot of fart jokes Sophia makes. It's great. Okay. So the next scene, so Blanche freaks out and she fucking runs home. I think she like didn't wait for anybody. She just ran home and they're in the living room and, all the Golden Girls walk in and they're like, why are you freaking out so much? You know, like calm the fuck down. Like you have an opportunity to get with your ex, your dead husband again.
Yeah, George followed her home from the restaurant too. More stalker behavior.
More stalker behavior. Well, he knew where she lived because
he sent the flowers.
Yeah. So he spent all that money on flowers. He's gonna try to get laid. That's just how it works, right?
Which is even the hardest anyone's had to work. This screw Blanche. usually it take.
Yeah. Usually it takes like a wink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not $5,000 in roses.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just spend time with women. That's you don't have to buy them flowers.
Yeah. You just have to like, you know, catch her in a nice mood when you're walking down the street. Catch her awake.
Yes, so, very important.
Funny because she was sleeping the whole time. So then Sonny Bono first he comes in and he's like, let me explain what happened. And he can't even explain anything because fucking Sonny Bono and Lyle Wagner like show up and they're just like wanting Bea Arthur. I think Sonny shows up only, right? It's just Sonny at this point.
Yeah, it's just Sonny first.
And we see Sonny, and it's Sonny, fucking Sonny Bono in the flash before he fucking dies. Yeah. When did he die? It was 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah, didn't he die from a snow ski accident? Didn't he hit a tree?
He hit a tree.
Yeah, while he was skiing.
Yeah, poor.
R.I.P. Sonny, R.I.P.
R.I.P. Sonny. Yeah. Okay, and so... So I forget what happens here with him. I think Bea Arthur Bea Arthur gets everybody to go to the lanai. So they all go outside and shit. And
which was the most Florida scene ever. Like they had those big palm trees painted on the back and everything.
You can see the ocean in the backdrop of during the day.
If there were like a gator sunset. Like peeking over like the fence.
Florida.
Maybe
there's
flamingo.
Like flamingos. Yeah. Oh my God. We watched the flamingo almost at the same time. So what he told Blanche is like, first he said, it's so weird because there are two reasons he gave. He said the first one was, I couldn't stand being married to you.
Yeah.
Which was like the opposite of what his second reason was, which is my business partner, who he didn't even name, embezzled money from our company. I'm jumping ahead a little bit, I think. But like embezzled money from the company.
It was framing him.
It was framing him and it was directing the money towards him. So, what's the truth, guy? Like, fucking, I know this is a dream, but...
No, but yeah, Dream George is kind of a liar.
dreams just don't, maybe they didn't bother to fix that because it's like, oh, it's a dream. We can say whatever we want.
Yeah, we're going to explain it away later. Like,
yeah, so we can have fucking him not be an asshole. Okay, so he called it Southern Pride. I was like, that sounds kind of racist.
Well, it sounded like for a second he was going to go into an even bigger revelation. I thought they were going to tackle, like, he was going to say he was gay and he couldn't be married to her. Like, he loved her, but he wasn't, like, you know?
Yeah.
And then they started going into the embezzling thing, and I'm like, oh, okay. They're going this way.
I like the gay thing better. He's like, I really loved penis. I'm sorry. I had to leave you for the D.
And Blanche should be like, I get it.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I mean, what if they had like the same boyfriend at one point?
Crazy? Well, I mean that would have been groundbreaking back then to tackle something like that, you know, like someone later in life like being in a marriage like that's a sham or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then her that brother. Boyfriend would have to be Lyle Wagner, I think.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, Lyle Wagner's definitely like sex some D's. I'm sorry. That guy is too much into show tunes. Okay. So, I was going to say, Blanche's brother came out of the closet in an episode.
Yeah.
And Blanche could not handle it. She was like, my brother is gay. Like, it was out of control. And she didn't, like, at the end of the episode, she, like, didn't accept him. She accepted him. But then the next episode we see him, he's getting married, and she goes back to not accepting him. I'm like,
And everybody in the 80s watching it was like, yeah, I really relate to this. Like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I would feel too. Like,
and they got the most
masculine. It's a choice.
They got the most masculine actor to play his brother, to play her brother. Like this total straight dude. Just like, yeah. I'm gay, Blanche. Like, I'm sorry. I'm like, okay.
I have decided to be gay. It is a choice. I was not born this way.
Like, I am very, very gay. That's me.
Breaking ground.
I'm going to go chop some wood and then fuck a man. Yeah.
So Sonny's out there. Sonny goes out to the back and he's like begging B. Arthur to like be with him because I think B. Arthur, well, the joke is B. Arthur probably reminds him of Cher because she's tall and has a deep voice. Like, it's total.
Yeah.
It's
wears
Cher.
Crotchless panties.
Mm-hmm. Wears leather strap outfits.
They're very similar.
Yeah, they're very similar. Hello, Sonny. How are you?
It was funny when they were playing on. I always love a good phone gag. When you can't hear the other side.
Yeah.
And she said, all right, if I do it, will you let me hang up? And then they did the duet of
I got you, babe. I got you, babe.
Babe.
Hands up. Great. Oh, so good. I love B. Arthur.
I loved how it happened, too, and it wasn't really acknowledged by the rest of the Golden Girls. They were all in the kitchen, like, watching her. And they're all like, we're just going to leave that alone.
Dude, if I got to sing I Got You, Babe with either Sonny or Cher over the phone, like, I would just die.
Who would your preference be?
I would like to sing with Cher.
Yeah.
Oh, no, well, Sonny, I mean, because then they'd be a ghost.
Like, well, I'd like to sing with a ghost.
Yeah. Over the phone. if you have to, have a ghost. Okay. And then, okay, in that scene, it's, like, Blanche is still bewildered. She's like, I can't believe this is happening to me in the kitchen and stuff. And then Rose is like, just choose Lyle. Wait, that's Dorothy's problem. Like, she can't even get her friend's problems right. Like, she's just confused by all the men that are walking in here creating these freaking love situations all at once. Okay, so then Sophia starts talking about how she used to be a spy.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah. So she must have been a spy for Italy because she was living.
She said it. Italy. She said it was a summer job.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I work at the pool. Spy against Germany. It's fine. Was it for Germany or against? I can't remember. She was.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Oh, it was for Russia. It was against Russia for Germany.
Yeah.
And then Rose tells a story about the OBGYG.
That was a good joke.
It's when she was tricked once.
Yeah, an OBGYN magician.
Yeah. And he was a magician obstetrician. And he would, when he delivered your baby, he would be like, oh, it's amazing how he turned a baby into
it's a girl.
It's a girl.
Now it's a dove.
And then he put it in the deck. He put the baby in the deck and was like, is this your baby?
Oh, man.
So good.
Yeah,
so
that's good. Like literally my nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
There's just so many hack scenes you just automatically picture in your brain too, like the kerchiefs coming out of the vagina. Yeah. You like instead like the umbilical cord, like it just keeps coming.
He puts a bunny inside the vagina.
Yeah.
Now it's gone. Oh wait, crawled up. Oh, and then didn't he cut her in half too while she was
C-section?
It was a really fun C-section.
You put her in like the magic box and you're like, here's a C-section. And then like, oh, hey, baby. Okay, so.
Yeah, I think this OBGYN magician needs to have its own spinoff along with Empty Nest.
Yes. And it's called Is This Your Baby?
It's called St. Olaf's Private Practice or something.
It's called Grey's Anatomy Magic? Grey's Anatomy Magic?
Grey's and Abracadabra.
That's it. Grey's Anatomy Abracadabra. There you go. There you go. We got it. And then Blanche is like, fuck this shit. I wish he was dead. He was better off dead. That's what she says. And she runs out scandalized. And there's a somber music. And so everyone's like, oh my God, serious moment. Okay. So the next scene, they're in the living room. And Sonny Bono and Lyle Wagner are at the door. They came together. They're like,
they shared a cab.
They're staying in the same hotel room, I guess, and they saw each other in the lobby and like, oh, we need to go confront Dorothy right now.
You gotta choose. Like, that's ever happened in the history of like real life, except for every sitcom's always had.
Every sitcom happens.
You have to choose between us. Oh, I don't know what to do.
I wish I lived in that world where two guys would be like, you have to choose over me. I've done that to a guy, but he wasn't there and we didn't go together.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, choose me or him, but he was not there. It would have been great. Okay. So they came together and like, okay, Lyle calls him an insult, and that insult was pizza man. And I didn't get that.
No, pizza man.
Pizza man?
Yeah, because they were doing little pet names. They were like, oh, my little cannoli. And she's like, oh, my Mama Celeste. And then Mama Celeste is a brand of pizzas.
Okay.
And then it was like, what about the pizza man here?
Oh. Okay, well, see, I thought maybe he was like in a show about pizza or something happened. Or he choked on a pizza and it was in the news or something like that. I don't know.
I would watch a show about pizza starring Sonny Bono.
Yeah.
Pizza Man.
Pizza Man starring Sonny Bono.
So many spinoffs from this one episode.
Pizza Man and Grey's Abracadabra. Spelled that way.
I can just see Sonny Bono like just staring into the camera and like opening a pizza box.
Yeah. It's me, the pizza man.
Hey.
Sounds like we've got NBC's fall lineup all set for 1988. We've just totally just wrote them like four new sitcoms that would have worked back then.
Oh, man. Filmed it live in a studio audience in Burbank. Pizza man. Okay, so Dorothy... So there's a lot of framing going on in this episode because Sonny Bono also frames Lyle.
Yeah.
Because he's the Palm Springs mayor, or he was at the time.
Yeah, he was at the time.
Yeah. In 1990, I guess.
Yeah, didn't he go on to be a senator too? Or a representative?
Congressman, I think.
Wow. Yeah. Do you think he was murdered because, like, he didn't want to, like, vote a certain way against, like, a big company?
Well, I think they should reopen the case and maybe have some words with Lyle Wagner.
Oh, he's dead.
Yeah.
He killed him.
What? Yeah, that's true. I didn't think of that. There was a lot of conspiracies and framing and stuff going on in this episode.
Like, these people witness a frame and they're like,
Well, that's so what crime could you accuse somebody of in Palm Springs where a police officer is going to show up at somebody's house and confront a police officer is going to grab him in the door frame of some old lady's house in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Yeah.
We got to get you back to our jurisdiction.
They're extraditing him for littering, I assume.
Yeah, Palm.
The
jaywalking bandit.
You peed on our palm trees. And our springs. I'm guessing there's springs down there. I don't know.
Yeah, I think there is.
Well, I've never actually been to Palm Springs.
Oh,
I've never been to this. I've been to Palm Springs, but I've somehow never been to the Springs Park.
The Spring Park.
Yeah, I've
only been to. Oh, okay. So there are springs. Okay.
Yeah, there are. I just never been to them, but I believe they exist.
They're like hot springs?
I guess. I don't know.
We'll never know.
Yeah.
It's not like we can Google this. So then, like, Dorothy's totally like, fucking take Lyle. I don't give a fuck. And Dorothy, like, just grabs Sonny Bono's face and just, like, squishes it. And it's like... And says, like, oh, the power. Like, it's so creepy. I feel like she was like Ursula from, like, stealing Ariel's power at that moment. It was bewitching to me.
She sang Poor Unfortunate Souls to Sonny back in the bedroom.
Poor Unfortunate Souls.
The best song ever.
Yeah.
Little Mermaid live starring Bea Arthur.
and then a horse comes in and it's Sonny Bono and Lyle. It's a seahorse. Okay. Also, can we talk about Rose's like big purple frumpy jumpsuit? Did you notice this, Genevieve?
Yeah, it was bizarre.
It was really odd. And then, go ahead.
Well, she had that, like, beautiful monologue, that speech, you know, and you couldn't take her seriously because she was wearing, she looked like a purple, she looked like Kool-Aid or something while she was delivering it.
She looked like Grimace.
Yeah, that's what Anthony said.
She looked like Grimace. She looked like she went, like, jogging at the mall and then got hit by a truck when she walked out of it. And got all fucked up. Her clothes got all wrinkled. That's what I imagine she looked like. And then Blanche's outfit was like this like mustard brown, like silk fabric shooting out of her chest into the back of her neck, around her neck, and then flowing over her right boob. Like grabbing her boob.
It was a very grand scarf placement, I'd have to say.
What is it called?
I'm just saying, like basically, it's just like a very grand, like arrangement of scarves on her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was very odd. That was not a design that caught on. Or, I have no idea. It was very bizarre. Okay. And then, so Blanche is like, I think at this point, the next scene, it's Blanche's, we're in Blanche's room, and Blanche finally, is going to, because of what Rose said, like, I wish Charlie could come back, her ex, mm-hmm. her late husband. And so Rose,
who was killed by the magician.
Who was killed by the magician in the sawing accident. and so the next scene, she's ready to talk to what's his face, George, but it's in the bedroom. And the excuse that they use that he's in the bedroom is because Sunny and Rose and Dorothy are making too much noise in the living room.
Yeah,
they're like playing like Twister or something. They're just getting rowdy. They're the rowdy kids.
Yeah, there's a lot of really jarring writing where they're just like, well, we just need to throw in a line to explain this yeah. or that. It's always something that's so unnecessary.
They try.
I don't know. Right? Yeah,
like, we're playing Twister. Oh, just go in there, George. She's waiting for you. Don't mind. Red hand green. What was that, Genevieve?
I feel like when B. Arthur takes a lover, it gets loud.
No. Oh my goodness. And why is Rose there? She's taking photos?
I think she's just along. She has nothing else to do. She has nothing to do. She likes to watch. She's probably knitting.
Yeah, she's maybe like knitting as like a their lovemaking. She's
Well, there was a good line too when Dorothy gets into the bed with her to after we find out that it's all been a dream, right?
Yeah.
And then Sophia says, "One tennis lesson, and here we are."
And here we are. Oh my God! Tennis makes you into a lesbian. That's it. That is out of control.
Because that was back in the Martina Navratilova time. I mean, you could never get away with a line like that now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what they told us in school.
Yeah, I think you can get away in like Always Sunny or South Park, but not on
a family sitcom.
Not on like Modern Family. You know, like that would not fly. People would be like, maybe if the gay guys said it. I don't know. Something like that, you know? It depends. Gotta have the old lady saying the horrible things. And so, So she takes him back at the end of the dream after she wakes up. B. Arthur and all the girls are like, they're like, this happens a lot, I guess. So these kinds of dreams happen a lot. And B. Arthur is constantly being fought over in her dream.
Yeah.
Which is like, kind of crazy that Blanche would have a dream where another woman is the object of affection and not herself, right?
Of Lyle Wagner and Sonny Bono, who they needed to force into an episode so they could promote their horse banging play.
Oh man, I need to see this play now. Okay, and so then I forget how the episode ends. They leave her room and Blanche is like, she talks to George and says something like, I forget what is he said, but she's like, had fun with having sex with you in my dream, or like something like, I got with you this time or something like that.
She finally got to hug him or whatever.
Oh, she finally.
But yeah, well, let's talk about that too. So this Blanche goes to sleep. Is able to get into a deep enough sleep to have a 30-minute sitcom episode in her head, and then in is deep enough sleep to talk loudly in her sleep,
yeah.
To where the other three ladies are still awake, walking around, and can come in and just check on her because they hear her talking.
Right. They hear her moaning. They're finally the moaning. They're like, I can't handle this. This is too loud.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
I don't know. I need to look up and see who the writers were in the Golden Girls. I'm just curious now.
Who did we find out was a writer for Golden Girls?
Mitchell Hurwitz from Arrested Development. Yeah.
Season 2.
Cool.
Yeah. And casting agent was Allison Jones.
Oh, from The Office.
From The Office.
And other stuff. Lots of other stuff.
Lots of other stuff. So, like, a lot of people were rooted from Golden Girls.
Well, rightfully so. It's an American gem.
It's an American gem. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Dave Williamson,
for being
the first Inception-style freaking Golden Girls episode.
I'm going to think of so much stuff after you guys leave, too. I'm going to be like, oh, man, that one part and this and that. And we'll have to have a follow-up episode.
I never have those moments. I'm like, I'm done. I did the Golden Girls podcast today. I'm done. I used to care about what I said in this podcast, but we've been doing it for almost 3 years now. Okay.
So, I mean, we certainly like thinking about the Golden Girls, but yeah.
We talked about the Golden Girls. You should be happy, listeners. We did our job.
This is the defensive part of our podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. We get defensive at the end.
Listen, listeners, you're either a gypsy or you're a taco in life.
Gypsy. Be a gypsy.
What do you think, guys? Do you guys want to say anything to the podcast? Nope. All right.
I have to like move around.
Nothing like having a dog on something that's not a visual medium.
She's got a little snaggle tooth.
Yeah.
Snaggle tooth.
Yeah. Sorry, these dogs were distracting me the whole time.
I'll show you more dogs in a little bit. Okay,
awesome.
Genevieve.
Awesome. Great.
Okay. So this comes out on the. Okay. Who do we have? 1, 2. This comes out May 3rd.
Okay.
We have listeners all over the country and the world, actually. And where can people find you online, and where can people see you perform?
Well, most importantly in that time frame is May 17th to the 21st is the 3rd annual Gundo Comedy Festival taking place in El Segundo, California, which is near LAX Airport. And they can get info on that at thegundocomedyfestival.com. I'm at Dave W Comedy on Twitter and Instagram. And I do have some road dates coming up this summer. I'll be in Indianapolis at Morty's. And I think I have some Florida dates. I'll be one night only in Charlotte, North Carolina, the end of May on a Wednesday. So all that stuff, too, you can find on my social media.
So go check out Dave Williamson. He is a peach to watch through comedy.
Yeah.
So funny. And Genevieve, where are you going to be after March 3rd? Oh, by the way, headlining the Gundo Comedy Festival is Taco and Gypsy.
Yeah, they'll both be there.
They made it.
They're just going to growl at each other on stage for an hour.
I would watch that. That's
Oh, you guys can't see this, but Taco's going crazy.
Taco's about to.
I might have to post the first photo ever for the Golden Girls podcast because it's so funny. Okay. And Genevieve, where are you going to be after May 3rd, and where can people find you online?
I'm going to go to Bridgetown in Portland. I'm not performing there, but you're very welcome to be confused and think I am. But I'm just going to visit and maybe do some mics and other shows in town.
Yay! Hope you have fun.
Yeah. And you can find me at Genevieve Rice on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Huzzah!
Yeah.
I've never said that.
Yeah,
I know. I know, that was a different one, huh? I like to throw you a curveball every now and then. Okay, so I am at Anthony DeSimito on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me, May 4th and 5th, I'm going to be opening at Flappers for Eric Schwartz. That's going to be soups fun. And May 9th, I'm going to be doing this really awesome show. It's at Flights. It's like really cool. It's so much fun. It's every Tuesday night at 9:15.
Hawthorne, California.
Hawthorne, California. It is hosted by our friend here, Dave Williamson.
Nice.
Perfect timing. This was planned, wasn't it? Oh my God, they are so going to kill each other. Okay. And along with our own individual podcast, the individual Twitter, the podcast also has a Twitter, and it's at Thank You For Being A Podcast, but as an acronym, at TYFBAP, at TIFBAP. Also at TIFBAP on Instagram. And for those of you following along, the next episode is episode... Oh, she's talking! I'm Mimi, your guest on our podcast, baby!
That was Taco and Gypsy saying, hurry up and wrap up all these promotions. We're trying to give you an out.
We're trying to fucking... Fuck a horse. Okay. And the next episode is season 6, episode 10. And it is titled, I forget. So
It was like a crazy title. It was like, girls just want to have fun with their dead.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like, girls just want to have with their dead husbands. It was something like that.
Girls just want to have fun with their dead husbands.
It was
dark.
That's very dark. That's gothic Cyndi Lauper. And music is by Brian Korkernak and Mike Dennison. Thank you everyone for listening. Give us 5 stars on iTunes. We love all of you. Have a beautiful day and or night. Bye bye.
Thanks for having me, guys. See you later.
Gonna stuff a chicken. Gonna stuff the chicken. Like my mama taught me. Like my mama taught me. Gonna take the chicken.